Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name's Brian, and I am a fellow small church pastor in the trenches with you guys. And today, as always, as ever, as every episode we have, I'm joined by the gruesome twosome, the bestest that there ever was. They say to be the man, you got to beat the man. Well, you know what? I'm sitting in the room with the mans, and the mans, plural, are Joey and Kobe. What's going on, guys?
I'm blessed.
My life is dope, and I do dope things.
For those of you that are listening, I wish that you could see their faces every week whenever I try to come up with something new and dumb to say about them being in the room together. So, it was
in the whole wide room. I thought that was hilarious.
You know what, man? I lose sleep trying to stay up late to be as creative and funny as I am. And you see, people just assume that because I'm funny looking.
So you've given up beauty rest for humor.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a sacrifice that I'm willing to make for the team. I know my role, and I will stay in my place, okay? So, guys, as always, it's great to be in the room again, sharing in the Small Church Leadership Podcast Studio, the official name of this room now that I've dubbed it, inside the beautiful campus of Portsmouth First Friends Church.
We had a sponsor.
Didn't even know we had a sponsor.
Well, they could be a sponsor. First Friends Church would be a sponsor. They donate the equipment.
That's right. There we go. So, guys, today in this episode, I'm kind of hemming and hawing, or if you're from a little bit further south, hemming and hawing about this thing right here that we're going to talk about, because as much as I know we need to talk about it, I don't really want to talk about it. And that's leadership insecurities. Dun, dun, dun. That doesn't count as a sound effect, by the way.
You're right.
There we go. Okay. So leadership insecurities, they're kind of like armpits. Everybody's got at least one of them and can get smelly from time to time. So when it comes to, I mean, everybody's got at least one armpit, right? Like hopefully two, but at any rate.
I'd say yes, but I'm sure there's somebody out there that doesn't.
Yeah. Come on, man. This is another one of those jokes that I stayed up late trying to work on. So you got to work with me here, okay?
Keep going.
Crickets.
Keep moving.
Keep moving.
Yeah, keep moving.
Man, did you see the way he looked at me, Joey?
I was looking
at you
the same way.
Way you're looking at me, man.
So. I wasn't looking at him looking at you. I was looking at you. So.
You guys are really giving me leadership insecurity right now, and I don't know how to deal with this. So I guess what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you guys, when you think about leadership and when you think about insecurity, what comes to mind?
I don't think I'm insecure about much until I started thinking about leadership insecurity and realized I probably got a little bit of that going on in certain aspects. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something that we can all work on.
Me and Joey met before this episode, and we're actually, the goal for today is to let you expose all of your insecurities so that we don't have to talk about any of ours.
I mean, I've got one, so.
One.
It's going to be a short episode today.
Don't worry, I'll fill in the gaps. I've got about 1 million leadership insecurities. So, Joey, what do you think about when you think about leadership insecurities?
My therapist said I don't have to talk about this to anybody else but her. So.
Okay, so this is a HIPAA violation. Okay, I understand. We'll stay away from this. So, wow, apparently Kobe's going to talk for like 3 minutes, and then the rest of the episode is going to be me.
There you go.
So this is my therapy session, so just work with us, my friends. So let me ask you this here. What are the insecurities that you're dealing with personally? Uh-oh.
So I misread that question. And it just dawned on me as you said it. I was like, yeah, I didn't read that question all the way through, because I was reading that question as a leader, but that's not what it says. It's what are you dealing with personally?
Well,
insecurity as a leader, and this is rooted in me from years of different leaders that I followed and stuff like that. But if I teach you all the secrets, I'll lose control. I'll lose control of that program or that ministry or whatever that thing is, or you'll be better than me at it.
Okay. Now, I know I was joking about you only having one thing to say, but that literally could be a whole series of podcast episodes. Because don't we do that as small church leaders?
Yeah.
Like, information is power, and if I hold on to the information, then you always need me.
I got job security.
I got job security. Yeah. And what if you get better? And what if people start thinking you're a better leader than I am?
And we're going to talk about that one next.
Look at there. I set him up and knocked it out of the park. Great, we're going to talk about that in our next episode. So make sure you've subscribed wherever you get this podcast. Okay. So that is huge there, Colby, that yeah. Man, I can't give all the stuff away because you might get better than me. You might know more than I do, all of that. So we're going to unpack that a little bit for sure. Joey? Is there anything you want to share about that, something that is a leadership insecurity or insecurities that you're dealing with?
Under advisement of counsel. No, I'm just.
he's looking for all kinds of loopholes.
I'm going to tell you what. It really impresses me how technical his legal language is.
Right.
It's almost like you don't just come up with that on the spot. It's almost as if he's been really advised by somebody. Okay. I just watch a lot of Law and Order.
Is insecurities and fear the same thing?
Yeah. I think that they're different, but they are like, man, they're twins.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not identical twins. They're fraternal, but they are from the same womb.
Because sure. I deal constantly with a fear of failure. Hmm. And so that means I need to succeed. And so my insecurity is I want to do something and it's not going to succeed and I'm going to look like a failure.
Man. I mean, usually what I try to do is let you guys talk and then I'll just jump in and give some commentary. But that hurts because I struggle with that so much of there have been decisions that I know God has called me to make as a leader that I just haven't made them because I don't want to fail. And I have personally delayed progress in our church, man, because of a stupid fear and an insecurity. Wow.
Another thing is in that insecurity, I want to be liked. So then I'll make safe decisions and likable decisions and avoid the unlikable decisions.
No. Here's what we're going to do. I'm stepping out the door. You guys keep doing this podcast. Call me in when you're ready for me to start recording because this is stupid. I don't like it.
Oh. So my insecurity is somebody won't like me.
Yeah. Man, what a real thing that we all pastors deal with, right? Like pastors probably – we're gluttons for punishment, right? I heard a pastor say one time that this is the only job where I have my resignation letter signed in the glove box of my truck, but I always can't wait to get back out there and do it again. He's like, Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, I am done with this place. Friday night, I can't wait to get going again. And there's just something about I've got to perform. I want to please people. I want to serve them. I want to win. I want to make this the right way. Like, I want to be instrumental in this. And if we lose that, man, talk about an insecurity.
Well, every Monday from when I first got there, I've been there 15 years now. When I first got there, I'd fill out my resignation tape to a rock and try to throw it through the stained glass windows. apparently a pastor's years ago had tried that, and so they put plexiglass over the stained glass windows. So it bounced off, so I couldn't even break a window. I was a failure at that. So, yeah.
Yeah, but if you look at it, so we've all had failures. We've all had failures in our ministries one way or another. Something we tried didn't work. Something we tried blew up in our face, whatever it was. We've all had failures. But if we look at those failures, did we learn anything from them? And I just finished reading a book. It's not a church book by any stretch. It's called Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. He was a Navy SEAL. There's a lot of foul language in the book, but it was a very good book on mental toughness. And in it, he's talking about failure and how a lot of people, because of their fear of failure, won't do things. But the way he looks at it is you learn from things that you failed from. And so then I started taking a mental inventory of the things that I've done and failed, and then what could I have learned from those things to try to help me with the insecurities of the exact same things that Joey's talking about. How can I learn from those failures? Instead of being afraid of doing something because I'll fail, I have failed probably 300 times already today. But I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to stop. So I can't let those failures stop me from moving forward. So
what was the thing about Thomas Edison? He said it took you so many trials to do a light bulb.
Like 20,000 ways to not make a light bulb.
Yeah. I've learned. So I've learned 103, maybe 104 ways not to do church. So maybe that's my book.
Yeah, and that's true. But we look at that and we let that insecurity of failure stop us from doing things that we know absolutely would be. I got it written on my whiteboard. I put it on there today. The words, what if? What if we did it? What if we tried? What if we failed? What if we learned? I mean, so just looking at that insecurity of that part of it and saying, you know what? I'm going to do this anyway because I have failed before and I'm still alive.
That's good. I'm still not going to do it, but that's good.
That's fine. You don't have to. I will. I'll do it.
Yeah. See, one of the things that I found with insecurity, and for those of you that are familiar with the DISC personality profile, the D is the direct, and we're actually going to take the D off of the DISC and just put a K there for Colby, because Colby is going to make it happen whether it wants to be happened or not, right? He's just a go-getter.
I can stop.
I'm so sorry, man. The middle of my sentence interrupted the beginning of yours.
Well, when you're going to talk about me, I'm going to go ahead and interject something. I can stop. I mean, I can stop and do nothing, but what good is that going to do?
You done?
So I'm going to.
You done?
Yeah, I'm done. Go ahead. If you're going to talk about me, I'm going to interject. Go for it.
So what insecurities are you dealing with personally, Brian?
Being interrupted.
Apparently.
It's an insecurity that I deal with. No, like what we were talking about with insecurities and with jumping right into them is part of the solution is absolutely to take that thing and like David with the lion, grab it by the mane and strike it, right? But also, if we're not careful, we're just going to go around and cut the high priest's service ear off because we're striking at everything without paying attention to the thing. And so one of the things that I'm trying to learn is to slow down and ask myself, why am I insecure in this? One of my biggest insecurities that I deal with as a leader is imposter syndrome. I feel like I'm a fraud. I feel like if you really knew, man, I don't pray as much as I should. If you really knew, the big inspiration behind this message came from a message I heard years ago, which, by the way, most people do know that because I just come right out of the gate and be like, hey, I stole this message. And some people think I'm joking, but I'm like, no, here's where you can go and find it. Like, this is what inspired this. But ultimately, I feel like I'm not good enough. And then what my insecurity will do as a leader is it will see everything that happens as confirmation bias that you're right, you're not good enough. Because if you were a good leader, this wouldn't have happened. If you were a good leader, that wouldn't have happened. And so what I've got to be careful of is that I'm not attacking. We used to say it all the time this way in the Pentecostal church. You got to get the root and not the fruit, right? Because the fruit are easy to see and easy to try to deal with. But there's a deeper root. Like, why is it that I'm always defensive when somebody asks me about how long I've preached? Because that's a real life thing for me. If you come to me and say, man, you preached a little long, before I even hear what you're saying, even if it's true, I could have preached a 12-hour sermon, and I could know that it's long, but if you say something about it, I'm immediately going to be defensive. Why? I feel like I wasn't good enough. I was a fraud. And really, whenever you unpack that so much more, like it will get down to there's that 5-year-old boy who's watching his parents go through a divorce and feels like if I could have just been better, that wouldn't have happened. And that colors my leadership. And the reality is that there's so many times in ministry leadership or just in life in general, we've come to grow accustomed to our fruit as if that's our personality. Well, that's just who I am. That's just how I am as a person. No, it's not. That's fleshly, sinful, hurtful behavior. And we can deal with that and get to the root of that. And it's a difficult and long process, but that's one of the insecurities or a few that I struggle with for sure.
You said confirmation bias. What is confirmational bias? Somebody might not understand.
Yeah, so the way that the human brain works, and you can do the research on this. If you just go to Google and type in confirmation bias, you'll find a load of studies that are smarter than me. But essentially, which is not hard to do, right? But essentially, confirmation bias is this. Your brain's going to find out whatever it wants to find out. That's why on your newsfeed on Facebook, you have somebody in your family that's pro-vax and sees all the things that are good for it. You have somebody in your family that's anti-vax and sees all the things that's bad for it. Very, like, this is a social experiment. You can do this. I can do this. Go to your newsfeed and see if there are people on both sides of that issue that are genuinely, openly, and here's a key word, respectfully talking to one another about their differences. Don't worry. I'll wait. We'll just sit here and wait till we find that. It's hard to find that. Why? Our brain will find the things that we're already looking for. And here's another way to look at confirmation bias. Not too long ago, the University of Georgia won the national championship in college football. I don't know if you guys heard that or not. That night, I immediately went and I overspent a lot of money on championship material to the point of where now all of that stuff is half price off. But at any rate, I still spent a lot of money on it. Well, the next 2 days, all of my sponsored ads on Facebook were UGA, national champions. You want to buy this thing right now before they're not selling it anymore. Look at their socks that have the championship trophy with UGA logo behind it. Buy it now. Well, what was happening? I'm getting targeted ads because marketers know that that's what I'm looking for. That's a version of confirmation bias. So what happens when it comes to confirmation bias in terms of insecurities, if I think that I'm a failure, what did he mean by taking that voice tone with me? What did they mean in that text message when they responded to me? Wait a minute, I offered them to do this, take this role or this position, and they said, can I have a little bit of time to pray about it? Why did they want to? The reason they wanted time to pray about it is because I'm a failure. I'm not a good enough leader, or whatever your insecurity is, and it's confirmation bias.
Just kind of like we talked about with Hope last episode, in that I needed to start looking at places I could be hopeful because I was looking at the stuff where I wasn't hopeful at. And we see what we're looking for.
Yes.
And sometimes we need to change the soundtrack or change what we're looking at so we can see those things that we really need to see. Because all I can see is my failure and I don't see my successes.
Yeah. And insecurity, man, insecurity is super loud while at the same time very quiet.
I can.
So weird.
So this happened in my church. We had somebody join in after an incident happened. And me and my wife is 2 years later.
I told you I'm sorry about that.
2 years later with this person talking about the church as back then when we went through that. And she goes, I haven't experienced none of that since I've been here. This is what I experienced and was all positive things. But I'm still living off of that.
Yeah.
That's all I want to see. And I missed the positive things in the 2 years that they were there and they were pointing them out to me. And I go, man, I had so much more to be thankful for than what I realized, but I'm still stuck in the past.
Right. And the thing about insecurities and stuff like this is it comes out in it's not just in leadership. You know, it comes out in how we treat our spouses. It comes out in how we treat our dog. Sometimes I go on a walk with my dog and she wants to go left and I want to go right and I'll get mad with her for wanting to go left. My dog didn't wake up that morning and go, you know what? I'm going to ruin Brian's day by going left when he wants to go right. You know, or that person that cut you off in traffic didn't go, you know what? As soon as I see Colby in that stupid new truck of his that makes Brian jealous because it's a cool truck, as soon as I see him, I'm going to cut him off and I'm going to make sure I get in front of him. That person didn't wake up thinking about, well, maybe in Virginia, right? Maybe at least Hampton Roads.
It's personal. Don't tell me it's not personal. It's personal.
Whoa, man. Those were some eyes right there that I got. So, yeah, it leaks out into everything that we do. And so it's really important that we deal with that. Because here's the thing, guys. At some point, we're going to have people on our team that are going to question our decisions. And if you think you're not good enough, or if you think Colby's insecurity, which feels like it's and Colby's insecurity sounds like, well, Colby's, the thing that Colby brought up, it feels like it's the opposite side of I'm not good enough, of, well, I am good enough, and I'm just going to make sure that I continue to be the one that's good enough. Wherever you line up on those things, you're going to be in a leadership meeting, and somebody's going to question something you're doing that you've prayed about and you've agonized over and you've read books over and you've got coaching on, and they're going to question you, and that insecurity is going to want to be like, well, here's how we're going to respond to this. And if I could, man, we might lose listeners over this, but if I could write my own scripture for a second, the book of James says to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. What if we could be quick to listen, slow to let our insecurity speak? That might make a difference in our leadership decision. Because maybe that person's not trying to take your job, per se, for Colby's particular side of it, or maybe they're not trying to say that I'm not good enough. Maybe they're genuinely curious, why do you take up offering at the end of the service instead of at the beginning of the service? Or why do you always have to have 2 people in the nursery? Or why do I need a background check? They're not always coming at this from an insecure, from attacking your insecurity place, but our insecurities are like, nope, they know that we're not who we really say we are, and they're trying to come after us there. And so it's important that we really deal with those.
And it's important to know what our insecurities are, because we can't deal with them when we're not aware of them.
Yeah.
And since I learned what mine was, I can be self-aware and know when it's affecting me.
Yeah. And it's helpful to have other people help point that out. Insecurity is like bad breath. Everybody knows you got it, but you they won't tell you.
Yeah.
And you've got to be willing, and this, again, this goes against the insecurity. You've got to be willing to say, hey, you know, I've noticed that I kind of act this certain way. Kobe's over there smelling his breath. No.
I don't have a cough button, so I was trying to fight it.
Oh, out of the corner of my eye, it looked like you were smelling your breath. I was like, yes! I love it whenever I use that example at church and watch people low-key try to smell their breath without letting anybody know they're smelling their breath. I'm like, I can straight up see you. But anyway, yeah, you got to be able to acknowledge, to see where that is and have other people speak into that. So here's a question then. What leadership insecurities in others have you had to be under?
I was under somebody who was scared that I was going to become more popular than him in the church.
Well, people were going to start, like, you were under like this insecurity that Colby was talking about, and kind of feels from the other side of that.
Okay. Yeah, so I was in that. They were scared that I was going to get some popularity in the church, and
Colby, then, what would you tell him? What would you tell him about that?
About what?
About, you want to share it again?
Dealing with other leaders insecure. They were insecure that I was going, people were going to start following me instead of them. And so what it caused them to do is keep me in my place. They had to constantly put me in my place, not let me get, you know, and not let me succeed in some things. Make sure that I failed, or what I wanted to see happen didn't happen, so that I didn't have the successes. And that's what, so I eventually had to move on.
Okay.
That's what I would tell him to do. Move on.
Yeah. I couldn't grow under him.
Yeah.
I had to go.
You can only do so much with them. So go. Yeah. Go and grow.
Did you just say go and grow? Is that what you said?
Go and grow. Yeah. Or grow and go.
Grow and go.
Whichever one you want to do first, doesn't matter.
Grow while you go. How about that?
Bottom line is get out from underneath that kind of leader.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to help you get any better.
What happens if you're on staff under that leader? How do you deal with the, say that you're an associate pastor or a youth pastor, and you've got a young family and a newborn kid, and that's your primary income. How do you tell that? What do you do in that situation?
You got to have a conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible says that if another brother does you wrong, then you got to go talk to him. So go talk to him. And it may be one of those situations where they're not even aware. They're not even aware that they're doing it. But they may know they're doing it. And if they know they're doing it and they're not going to change it, then Indeed.com, put some resumes out there.
Yeah. Churchstaffing.com.
There's all kinds of churches that need a good pastor.
Okay. So what about you, Colby? What leadership insecurities in others have you had to be under?
So, when I was in the Air Force, I ran a program that was the largest in DOD, and the person training me would not give me all of the information to do the things immediately. I had to jump through hoops, and I had to be the grunt for a while and work my way up to it. And even at the point of them leaving, I found that there was a bunch of stuff they didn't train me on. And it was because I don't know exactly why. It appeared to be because they didn't want me to take it to new heights. They didn't want me to be successful with it. We had some major inspections coming in that were, I mean, if you fail them, they're bad. If you fail these inspections, they're really bad. And it was like setting me up with these little time bombs that would go off later on. And so it was just, it was one of those. But then I look at where I'm at now, and I can see why I'm that way, because in the military, that's what they did. They never taught you everything. They gave you just enough so that you could get the job done, but they didn't give you all the secrets. That way you wouldn't take it to a level above them. And they were always like, they always want people to say, man, I really wish Colby'd come back and be the pastor here. No, I want to leave this place better than I got it, but I want the next person to take it even further. And I don't want the people to, when my time is up here, I don't want people to say, man, we really wish Colby'd come back. No, they should be done with him at that point and moving forward with somebody else.
I always love that churches throw goodbye parties. And I'm like, you're happy I'm leaving? Like, what the what? But yeah, so, and that takes a mature leader to be able to say, hey, I want this place to be better than it was whenever I got here. And it's one thing to say it in theory. It's another thing to actually live it out. And I remember as a young pastor, for me, I used to love when I would leave and preach somewhere else and come back and hear the, man, we couldn't do, it was just not the same without you. We couldn't do anything. And this, because it was that insecurity of, I'm never good enough. And that was feeding into, no, I am good enough. And they did need me. But now, flip side of that, we've kind of built some systems in, and now I go preach somewhere. I'm going in a couple of weeks somewhere. They don't even miss me, which then feeds into a different side of insecurity. But I come back, and they're like, oh, I didn't even know you weren't here. And I'm like, you bad word, you bleep button, you cuss word button. Like, come on. But that we've just got to deal with that.
Yeah, so when I announce my wife's going to be preaching at church, she gets cheers. I get nothing. I tell them, serious, I'm preaching nothing. Nothing.
They hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of static, right? They already hear it. So here's a question then. How do you deal with these insecurities, guys?
All right. So first thing I had to do is discover. I had to be self-aware. And so how I discovered it is I had a situation where somebody had give us a expensive piece of meat, and I got the task of preparing it. And so I read the instructions on what to do, and instead of doing that, I put it on a whole lot early. And so at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm chopping this barbecue up when my family was supposed to be sleeping. I was in a split level house at the time. The stairs was right off the kitchen, right up there. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm chopping this stuff up. And I would have told you at the time, well, it needed to be done, so I got it done. The reality when I had to begin to process why I did that to my family, I would be chopping barbecue while they're trying to sleep at 3 a.m., which is what you're supposed to be doing at 3 a.m. It was, if it wasn't good, I could at least try to go get enough barbecue sauce so I wouldn't fail. I would be successful in this thing. And so I could make it successful. And so I was trying to have enough time to do that. Between needing to serve it and all. And I would have said I need to get stuff done, but it really was my fear of failure acting up. And I had to come to grips with that. I had to discover that. And then I've got to step back and go, why aren't you making this decision? What's keeping you from making a decision? You know this is the right decision. Or other times I'll get busy trying to get all the little details done so the event will be successful. And I'll miss the big picture dealing with the little details, and somebody's got to go, hey, usually my wife, is that fear of failure acting up? Is it insecurity? Does this really got to be done for this to be successful? And so she can call me on it. So being self-aware, realizing when that is affecting me and what it is and when it's affecting me, so then I can not allow that to flavor or impact my decisions. Hmm.
Okay, so self-awareness. I don't like this, but you said having other people to speak into your life that can see you whenever you're getting into those modes. Because insecurity causes us to act in certain ways, and so people that are close to us can see us acting in those ways and call us on that. Okay, so Colby, what about you? What do you do to deal with insecurity?
So early in the ministry, it was deny it. Just pretend it wasn't there, keep moving, keep getting stuff done, do it myself, you know, just deny it. Then you get to a point and you're like, I can't do everything. I'm burning myself out. I need people to do it. So I got over it. And you know what? Pass the stuff on. Find somebody that can do those things. I mean, I coach pastors now, and I ask them, what five things can you give to somebody else and let them take care of? And it's a struggle because we do want people to appreciate us as pastors and what we're doing, but we are worried that if we give it to somebody else and they do better, then people are going to be like, well, we really don't need the pastor then. You know, what's the pastor doing here? Well, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, which is in prayer and preaching the word. Yeah. And so it's kind of one of those things. So I realized that I couldn't do it myself. I can't do everything myself. So I had to pass things on and had to be okay with somebody being better than me. That's okay. I don't think I'm the greatest. I'm an average at best preacher, and I do my best as I can as a pastor. And so everything else, there's somebody out there that knows more about that thing than me. So get over it, let them do it, and watch what they do.
Which is perfect team ministry concept.
Yeah.
And I love what you said. You brought it out to, well, what's the pastor supposed to be doing? And you went straight to the book of Acts.
Yeah.
Like, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God and prayer to serve tables. I mean, think about that. If that were to happen in any one of our churches, we've got three churches represented, and our listeners have multiple churches that are represented. Imagine the women of the church, right? Because it's the widows that are not getting fed in that story in the book of Acts. So imagine the women of the church coming up and saying, this needs to get done. How quickly are we breaking our backs to make sure that that gets done for the women? Yet the apostle said, hold up. This is our role, is to be part of the ministry of the word of God and prayer. Now, here's the solution we've got for you. So we're going to do the spiritual thing, but we're also going to do the leadership thing for you to go and find seven men amongst you and all that and pass this off to them. I just think about how many pastors have been fired because they tried to handle a situation like that by going, hey, God's called me to do this area, but I think that you're qualified to do this, and so here's a system to go and make that happen. That's kind of scary to even think about, man. Like, ugh, what does that look like, and how does that work out? So do you guys have anything that you want to share about maybe anything to do with insecurity?
Well, I was going to say another way that I dealt with my insecurity was I didn't confront what I needed to confront. And so you would make me confront it because you wouldn't change your behavior to do the right thing, and I'd have to come in front of it. And I'm coming in like a bull in a china shop. I'm tearing everything up.
So, like, unpack that a little bit. What does that look like?
So somebody was misbehaving, doing something they wasn't supposed to do, and I just hope it would go away. But if you kept doing it,
that's not how you're supposed to handle stuff? Yeah,
apparently not. And I had to confront it. I'm coming in mad and upset because now I've got to have this confrontation and make somebody mad, and I don't want to do that. And so I'm over, and I'm coming in out of anger and fussing, and I blow up the situation and make it even worse. And so now, okay, you got to confront it. Let's confront it. But what's the right way? And I can then begin to press out the right way to confront this instead of just going in there and blowing up.
Well, I would never blow up, so. Yeah, that's my default, is to go in and overcorrect. And, well, now I've got to handle this and deal with that, instead of getting to underlying issues behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. What about you, Colby? You got anything else you want to share about insecurities?
I'm good.
All right. So, well, guys, with that being said, Colby, why don't you tell people where they can find us?
You go to Facebook, type in the search bar, Small Church Leadership. You can find us on Facebook. We are posting different things, looking for some interaction. Tell us what books you like reading. Tell us what books you don't like reading. And that might help us out finding some new books to read. We've got different articles that we post out there from previous podcasts. Get a read of those and communicate with us. If there's anything you'd like us to talk about on a podcast, let us know.
And then if you go wherever you're getting this podcast, then give us a 5-star rating and subscribe so that you can get these as they come out. We would highly appreciate that.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate you sharing some insights. And for those of you that are in small church leadership land, the next episode that we're going to be talking about is going to be a good one. It's going to kind of piggyback on this insecurity idea. We're going to talk about how to lead when you're not the best leader in the building. There's a myth that you have to be the best leader in the building as a pastor, but the truth is God's going to send you a lot of great leaders, and some of them, unfortunately or fortunately, are going to be better leaders than you are. So how do you handle that? How do you deal with that? That's what we're going to deal with in our next episode. We look forward to hearing from you then. Until then, this has been the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are prayerfully and helpfully helping the small church fulfill the big mission. I'm Brian.
I'm Joey.
I'm Colby.
And we will see you next time, guys.